Prayer for understanding of God's word. Holy God, let your spirit now move in us to turn us away from the temporary and move us to your external love. Make visible in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture text for our message this morning comes from Mark, the fourth chapter, the 35th through the 41st verses. It's the scripture following what we studied last week, but for those of you that might have missed it, I'll go through that first, all of last week, and then you first can go to sleep. And no. We're in the Galilee area. Jesus is early on in his ministry, but reasonably well known enough that the Pharisees have come to see him and visited him already and question him. He's just started telling everybody from a boat because he's down by the seashore now, and there's so many people there, he needs to get away from them, and he tells them what the kingdom of God is like. And we're at the day's end as we come to our scripture today for him, as he's had a hard day of preaching and teaching and following God and praying, and now we come to this time. So share with me, if you will, Mark, the fourth chapter, verses 35 through 41. Mark says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet! Be still!' And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I forgot my introduction. God is good.
All the time.
You didn't learn last week either, did you? God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Praise God. Yes. All right. When I was a baby, a little guy, up to about age 4, we lived in upstate New York, what we called upstate New York. People would say it's the center of the state, near the Finger Lakes. I was born in Ithaca and lived in a little town near there. Finger Lakes were 5 or 6 lakes that were all spread out. My dad was an avid fisherman. My mom tells the story that when they were first married, dad would come home. He was a school teacher, and he'd come home from school, grab his fishing gear, and go off to the lake to go fishing. And she was complaining to one of her neighbors, and her neighbor said, "Sweetie, if you can't beat them, you got to join them." And so mom went fishing with dad, and that was a pretty common occurrence in our family. The kids came along and mom stayed with them, but as they grew a little bit older, she went with them, and it finally wound up that me as the baby was about a 2-year-old, and all 5 of us were in a fishing boat on Seneca Lake. Not a huge lake, but a good-sized lake, and this was the days of, you know, back in the early 40s, somewhere along there. There weren't outboard motors, there weren't those things. Dad was pulling the oars and doing his thing and fishing, and a storm came up. And dad was out too far, and he had his wife and 3 children in that boat. And the story, although I don't remember it personally, but it was told enough, was that the waves were so high that you couldn't see from one trough to the next. And we had to get back in. And dad was rowing his heart out, and mom had these 3 little kids. What was she to do with them? Scared as she was, we sang "Jesus Loves Me" all the way back to shore. Yeah, scared. It's scary to be out there in the middle of nowhere, you know, where you can't get to the bottom and you don't know how and all of those kind of things. When I was in the ROTC in college, in the Navy ROTC, I spent a summer on a destroyer commonly called a tin can. And it's called that for a purpose. It bounces around as it goes along. And up off the seas of San Francisco, they have wonderful groundswells up there. That aircraft carrier that we were escorting was going right straight along, and we were, you know, like that. I stepped out on the deck one day, and I looked out there, and I said, you know, if I fell in, nobody would miss me, and they'd never find me until I washed up on shore. It's scary to be in a situation like that. And so it must have been with Jesus' disciples. They just wanted to go to the other side of the lake, over to where the Gerasenes, over all the Gentiles were, so Jesus could take a nap, you know, so he could get some rest. But it's a very shallow lake, that Sea of Galilee, very shallow to the extent that when a wind comes up, it's kind of like the Salton Sea, or somebody else told me today, Lake Erie. You know, it's just the wind comes up and the waves start chopping, and they're just frightened to death because they're a shallow boat anyways. But what's Jesus doing? He's back there sleeping. What kind of Messiah is that, that sleeps in the back of the boat while we're drowning? And so they yell at him, come on, kid, won't you do something? And I can almost see him waking up going, what? Oh, okay. Shut up, waves. Stop, wind. And they do. But why did he do that? Did he really have to do that? Does the end of the story says, and the Messiah drowned? No, it doesn't. Couldn't he have just said, guys, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Just keep going and we'll get there. But he had a purpose in what he was doing. Not to show how miraculous and wonderful he was, although it did that, no doubt. But to really say to them, where's your faith? Where is your faith? Don't you have enough faith to believe? And for me, as I read the scripture, it's not about a miracle that he performed. It's a question of, to me and to all of us today, where is your faith? Do you have enough faith? What do you put your faith in? We all put our faith in lots of things, my friends. You all got here. Most of you didn't walk. You rode in the car, and you had faith that when you turned that ignition key, the car started, didn't it? When you go home, your house is going to be nice and cool, right? Because you have faith that the air conditioning works. We put our faith in, that's part of our life. It's totally part of our life. But that's not the faith that we're talking about, is it? We need to talk about a faith in Jesus Christ. Where is your faith? Is it in all of those things that the world gives us, or is it in a God who is above and beyond all of that? What does faith mean? What's the word? Can you define faith for me? Most of us think it's that unknown thing that's out there, but we don't have a better definition. I'll bring you two today, and you can choose one or you can choose something else if you'd like to. Faith is an acronym, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I take him. Forsaking all, I take him. Or if you'd like the real best definition, it's right here in the Bible. It's in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, which is known as the faith chapter, which tells all about all of those great people who had faith for all times. But let me read it to you. The writer of Hebrews says, now faith is being sure in what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure in what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's true faith. It is with my car. I'm certain of what I hope for. I hope it's going to start, and I have no idea how it works. But I'm willing to accept that it'll run. But what we're talking about in Hebrews, obviously, isn't faith in my car. It's faith in God. It's faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, a hope that we have in Jesus, not a hope of what we have in my car or something else, and a certainty of what we cannot see, as he has explained and told us. Now, how do you get that faith? Faith as a mustard seed can move mountains. I must not have a lot. I still haven't moved a mountain. I'm still not sure I can. Because I don't choose to have that much faith, I presume, truly, if the fact of the matter were known. But for me, anyways, and I don't know if it's the same for you, but faith starts in little bitty pieces and grows and grows and grows. When I see that what God will do for me in little things, then it begins to expand, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until I'm amazed at what God can do. I shouldn't be, but I am, because he will do anything for my betterment. We have to remember, though, that God really isn't concerned ultimately about our health or our finances or our marital status or our power or even on our longevity. There's a few of us that are probably over 60 in this crowd, and we could get that. How old is the oldest one? We're not going to do that. We're all into longevity, aren't we? How long are we going to be on this earth? You know what? Ultimately, God doesn't care. He's interested in your real longevity. Where are you going to be in eternity, and what are you going to be doing? But we get all wrapped up. I was musing with somebody earlier. You know, when we were younger, we talked about our kids. Now we talk about our doctors. Our calendar used to be when we went to work and when we got home, and now it's which doctor visited we got on Tuesday. Isn't that the way it is? We had a 90-year-old lady in one of our congregations in Ohio that she was just the sweetest lady. Mary George was just a great gal. And when I came, she was always all smiles and everything. But I understand when she was home alone, her husband told me, she used to complain a lot about her health and how she hurt and where she ached and where she did. She finally said to him one time, you know, I just as soon be dead as I am the way I am. And he turned to her and said, then why do you keep going to the doctor? You know, because we want our health, we want our longevity. There's something in us that says even what's going on here is better than what's going on beyond. As much as we know that's not true, we're comfortable because we're in an environment where it works for us right now. So I would say to you, the first thing we need to understand is that we need to have a faith that God will do what he said he'd do. And what he said he'd do was give us salvation. He didn't say he'd do all those other things. He didn't say he'd make everything wonderful for us. He said he'd walk with us through everything. So how do we get that faith? We work a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more until amazingly it works in the big things that God really intended for us. Let me tell you about 2008. 2008 in the summer, Sylvia and I went off to Kanab, Utah for 6 weeks where I filled in for a pastor up there who was taking sabbatical. While we were there, as we got to the end of that trip, or that time, Sylvia began to feel not good, like she had the flu, you know, the bad feelings, the squiggly things and all that stuff. But we had to get on because in 3 days after we were done there, we had to be in Springfield, Illinois to a nomads project where we were going to work. And so I told Sylvia, you can sleep in the car, I'm driving, just bundle up and you'll be all right, it'll be over in a couple of days. But it didn't get over in a couple of days. We had to stop in Kansas for her to go to the ER because she wasn't feeling any better. The ER took her tests and said, your white cell count is high, you must have urinary tract infection, although the urine test doesn't prove that, we'll give you some medication for it. And so they did, and she got better. And she seemed to be acting better for a while, but then a couple weeks later, while we were on our mission trip, she started feeling bad again. We took her back to a clinic, and they said, well, they probably didn't give her enough. We'll give you some more. Take 10 days instead of 5 days. 2 days later, she was completely confused. I thought my wife had gone into dementia. She couldn't find her way through Walmart. All women can find their way through Walmart. We tried to cook the favorite meal that we had. I wound up cooking it, and it was terrible because she couldn't figure out where the pot or the pan was. And so we took her to the emergency room that night. And instead of just telling her that she doesn't feel good, I finally told her them about this confusion. And they did an MRI, and they found 3 lesions in her head, in her brain. They didn't know what they were at the time, and the doctor said they could be cancer, they could be abscesses. We don't know. Prepare yourself for the worst. They admitted her. They finally got her to her room about 1 o'clock, and by 3 o'clock she was bedded down, and I spent the rest of the night in the waiting area, you know, that they have on each floor. Tried to sleep, but you don't sleep in situations like that, do you? And I was saying, God, what's going to happen to me? What happens if Sylvia dies? I know she's going to be taken care of. She's your kid. You love her. You'll take care of her. What about me? What's going to happen? I'm not going to have a wife who does this. All of a sudden I realized I was talking about the wrong guy. Wasn't anything about me. I was about me, but God was about her. And I said, now, come on, God, I've preached it all these years. I better do it or I'm a hypocrite. So I said, God, I'm going to rejoice in you no matter what. I'm going to put my faith in you and believe that whatever happens, you'll see us through this. Sylvia had 3 abscesses in her brain. She did almost die on us from the pressure that those abscesses put. They rushed her to emergency surgery after me sitting one night with her and watching her stop breathing from time to time and then begin again. And they took care of all of those abscesses. And today she sits out here with us just as perfect as she ever was, which isn't perfect, but pretty close. And I love her dearly. And I claim that part of that is my faith. I didn't do it. God did it. But God saw me through. Because of the faith that I had, because I was willing to say, yes, God, she's yours, I'm yours, and you'll walk with us through all of this. I believe. It took 25 days to get her out of the hospital in Illinois with us and everybody out here, but she was able to do it and able to do it well, and I praise God for that. But let me bring you a little bit closer, if I may. A little bit closer in time. It was a year and a half ago when I went to a neurologist and they told me I have Parkinson's disease. I don't normally tell that to congregations because now you start to look and see where I'm twitching and what's going on. And I don't want you to do that. I want you to hear the story because I have Parkinson's disease and probably have had it for about 5 years, as it turns out. I have a tremor. I have a very mild tremor. But from the moment, because I learned from my wife's experience, from the moment that came and I was told of that, rather than throw my hands in the air and say, it's all over, there's nothing I can do, it's done, it's not life-threatening, it's life-debilitating. I said, I am going to put my faith in God. I am going to do everything I can physically to make this be what it is. But you can like me for what I am, but not the way I am. If you don't like me, turn around and walk another way. If you can't stand what I look like or how I act, that's fine. But I am God's child, and I propose that God will see me through this, just as he saw me and my wife through what happened to her. Did he? Is he? You better believe it. We went to a neurologist out of town. Her name is Naomi Salins. She's up at the Muhammad Ali Clinic in Phoenix. She's a little Indian, Middle Eastern Indian lady, and when I first saw her vita and all of that, I went, oh, can I even understand this lady? Man, can I understand this lady. Her dad's a Christian pastor in India. She is a strong Christian lady. She ministers not just to my body, but to my spirit and my soul. We close every time we see her every 3 months in prayer together. She is what God does for me as I have the faith to believe in him. Am I going to get worse? Well, I guess. That's what happens to everybody. She keeps telling me I'm doing marvelously, and I keep saying, but the tremor's increasing a little. She said, John, I don't care about that. She said, what I care about is that you're not getting all bound up, that all those other things that go on are not happening to you. It seems to be going well. Let's just keep the medication level where it is, and you keep doing what you're doing. And so I stand here in front of you to say, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, although you probably will never invite me back again, but I can find another church, so don't worry about that. But it would be so much simpler in life just to close myself up and go away. But we can't do that, my friends. We have to put our faith in Jesus Christ and believe that he will take care of us. But now let's talk about you. You knew I was going to get around to that, didn't I? Didn't you? Remember last week we got to turn to each other and smile? No, I thought I'd have you turn to each other and tell everybody about your faith, but then I thought, no, that won't work. They'll never invite me back for sure then. Because it's hard to understand what our faith is like, isn't it? Sometimes because we don't want to feel like we're proud of ourselves for the faith that we have. Sometimes because we've never thought about it, and maybe we should have. And so instead of asking you to turn to somebody else, I'm going to ask you to turn to yourself, and I'm going to go sit down for a few minutes. Not a real long time. You'll get out to lunch on time, don't worry. But I'd like you to take just a few minutes of quiet. No music. Pure quiet. We hate quiet, don't we? Let's turn the radio on. Let's turn the TV on. Let's honk the horn. Let's do something. Total silence. And ask God, God, where are we in my faith walk? Now, if you're so far along on it that you don't need 5 minutes or whatever it is, then spend the rest of the time praying for somebody else that you know that needs help in that area. But I'm going to go sit down. The doors are locked. You're not getting out. Just talk to God. Where are you in your faith walk? Oh God, I hate to stop quiet times like this when we can finally hear your still small voice. And yet we know that the world is full of all kinds of things that would like to distract us, Lord. Help us to have the faith we need to let those distractions slough off that we might keep our eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen. The devotion I read last week said something. I don't remember most of the devotion, but I remember the last words that are probably going to stick with me forever. 17 congregations will hear me say it at one time or another. But it said, we've got to quit saying to God, hey, God, I've got this big problem. And start saying to him, hey, problem, I've got this big God. Wow. When we come to that, my friends, we will see our faith grow beyond expectations. Are you willing to do that? Our song of mission is number 368, My Hope is Built. Just the first verse, will you stand and sing 368?